This episode is sponsored in part by our friends at VMware. Let's be honest, the past year has been far from easy due to, well, everything. Caused us to rush cloud migrations and digital transformation, which of course means long hours refactoring your apps, surprises on your cloud bill, misconfigurations, and headaches for everyone trying to manage disparate and fractured cloud environments. VMware has an answer for this. With VMware's multi-cloud solutions, organizations have the choice, speed, and control to migrate and optimize applications seamlessly without recoding, take the fastest path to modern infrastructure, and operate consistently across the data center, the edge, and any cloud. I urge you to take a look at vmware.com/go/multi-cloud. You know my opinions on multi-cloud by now, but there's a lot of stuff in here that works on any cloud. But don't take it from me. That's vmware.com/go/multi-cloud, all one word. And my thanks to them again for their sponsorship of my ridiculous nonsense. It started as a meme, but it turned into a real post of mine on the 17 ways to run containers on AWS. Apparently, my list continues to be a source of amusement inside of AWS. Given that I do prefer to give the people what they want, I'd like to talk about 17 more ways to run containers on AWS. Now, hang on a second, Corey, you might be thinking. Reinvent is in a couple of months. If you wait until then, AWS is all but certain to release at least a couple more services that can be pressed into container running duty. I appreciate how thoughtful you are, but we don't actually need to wait for reInvent, so if it's all the same to you, I'm going to list the entire second set of 17 services right now. Number one, AWS Batch. A bunch of folks wrote in to tell me that I forgot about AWS Batch in the first list. This is patently untrue. I remembered Batch, but it's super hard to run containers with it, despite that being a stated goal of the service. Number two, AWS Nitro Enclaves. Nitro Enclaves are isolated compute environments that protect and securely process highly sensitive data. The way you build Enclave image files is, of course, via Docker images. Number three, AWS Step Functions. While people generally consider step functions to be a hilariously overcomplicated way of invoking Lambda functions, they also absolutely support container tasks as well. Number four, VMware Cloud on AWS. You can use VMware Cloud on AWS to run Kubernetes via whatever the hell a Tanzu might be. And in fact, it's something actively recommended by VMware. This apparently solves the problem with Kubernetes. Well, what problem might that be? According to VMware, it's we don't make money when you run Kubernetes yourself. Number five, Amazon AppStream 2.0. This little-known service lets you stream desktop applications. This, of course, includes Docker Desktop, so of course it counts. Number six, Amazon Nimble Studio. Nimble Studio is a managed video studio solution. It automatically provisions and maintains a studio workstation inside of an EC2 instance, inside of which you can run containers. Number seven, AWS Marketplace for Containers. That's right, not only can you use this service to run containers, you can use it to buy them as well. Number eight, Amazon SageMaker. Loath though I am to suggest using this machine learning monstrosity for anything, you don't have to twist that hard to get this thing to run containers. It is, in fact, AWS's recommended approach. Number nine, AWS Outposts. Servers in a rack that gets shipped to your facility open up many different possibilities for customers, but really, I just want to use one for a second to run a container. Number 10, Amazon Workspaces. Amazon Workspaces are virtual desktops running inside of AWS. Running containers is a standard part of many folks' usual workflows with these things. That's not even a stretch. Number 11, AWS Cloud Shell. AWS somewhat recently announced Cloud Shell, which, unlike everything else on this list, is completely free. Sure, AWS manages the container, but it does indeed run the container and let you do an awful lot inside of it. Number 12, AWS Device Farm. Device Farm is one of those are you messing with me or not services based upon nothing other than the description. A bunch of Android and iOS devices sitting in a rack somewhere for testing mobile apps. Really? Well, it takes some doing, but you can indeed get Docker running on Android devices. This episode is sponsored in part by you, Gabyte. Distributed technologies like Kubernetes are great, citation very much needed, because they make it easier to have resilient, scalable systems. SQL databases haven't kept pace, though. Certainly not like NoSQL databases have, like Route 53, the world's greatest database. We're still, other than that, using legacy, monolithic databases that require ever-growing instances of compute. Sometimes we'll try and bolt them together to make them more resilient and scalable, but let's be honest, it never works out well. Consider Yugabyte DB. It's a distributed SQL database that solves basically all of this. It is 100% open source, and there's no asterisk next to the open on that one. And it's designed to be resilient and scalable out of the box, so you don't have to shard yourself to death. It's compatible with PostgreSQL, or PostgreSQL, as I insist on pronouncing it, so you can use it right away without having to learn a whole new language and refactor everything. And you can distribute it wherever your applications take you, from across availability zones to other regions or even other cloud providers, should one of those happen to exist. Go to yugabyte.com, that's Yugabyte.com, and try their free beta of Yugabyte Cloud, where they host and manage it for you. Or see what the open source project looks like. It's effortless distributed SQL for global apps. My thanks to you, Gabyte, for sponsoring this episode. Number 13, Amazon Gamelift. Gamelift apparently runs gaming servers for you. It natively supports containers as one specific architectural choice you can make and suggests leveraging Spot to do it as well. Number 14, AWS Cloud9. Cloud9, like GitHub CodeSpaces, only terrible, runs its own IDE on top of either a provisioned EC2 instance or your own environment. You can absolutely leverage containers for this, and most people's development workflow does in fact do it. Numbers 15 and 16, a twofer, are AWS Snowball Edge and AWS Snowcone. That's right, the Snowball Edge, please don't look either of those words up on Urban Dictionary, and the Snowcone, the worst Kindle e-reader that Amazon has ever made. Both support running EC2 instances on them, and naturally you can then run containers within them. Which gets us to 16, but wait, last week, Amazon RoboMaker now explicitly offers support for container images, bringing us to 17. Aren't you just so very glad that they made that change? So there you have it. 17 more ways to run containers on AWS. I really hope there isn't going to be a third post in this series, but AWS is going to AWS. If you simply can't contain yourself, feel free to scream at me on Twitter about this at your convenience. I'm Quinny Pig. That's Q-U-I-N-N-Y, Pig.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.